意，却顾不了高的不甘没有留笔，不如改一改不甘的路嘛。
Yeah,
oh my god,
it is open. Let's go. Then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the podcast. Bobby Lee, Kalila, Gilbert, very special guest, Steve Renazizzi.
Renazizzi.
Round of applause. I think he's our biggest guy we've had on this thing. That's, Eric Griffin's pretty big.
Yeah.
He's on his way.
Yeah, I'm on my way down.
No, you're on your way down.
He's on his way up. I'm on my way down.
No, you're just
we're
like,
high-fiving right now.
You're at that level. You're going to hover at that level for a bit.
Yeah, hover.
Yeah, it's fine. That's a high level.
Everything's good.
It's great. It's fucking great.
Everything's great.
Yeah. I've known Steve Renazizzi for, since he's been in LA probably, right?
Yep.
What year was that?
2001 I got here. 2002 in the spring is when we went, when you did those colleges.
So I ran into you at Damiano's pizza place on Fairfax, and you were with Tracy, your wife, and some other fucking douches.
Mm-hmm.
I know I love Tracy, but you were with two douchebags. And I'm kidding. I don't even know.
I don't remember who we were with.
Me either. But you go, hey, I'm Steve, and I do stand up, this and that. And I went to Oneonta. I know you're playing in Oneonta. Oneonta.
Is that a college?
Yeah, that's a college in upstate New York. Yeah.
And he goes, hey, you know, can I go open for you? And I go, why not?
Yep, right there.
That's right there. Boom, the relationship started.
And then you said you were doing two other colleges, and he's like, you want to come with me to do the other two?
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to go on the road.
Yeah.
How come everybody that goes on the road with you eventually eclipses your career?
Oh wow, that's a real interesting question. Is it roast battle? No, it's roast battle. No, it's rooted in fact. But,
it's not rooted in fact.
The delivery was a little blunt. I don't know, sweetie. Maybe we should contact somebody and discuss that. I can't fucking. I'm flabbergasted that you wouldn't say something like that.
All I'm saying is you probably have an eye for talent.
Yeah.
Whitney Cummings, didn't she open to you?
D'Elia.
I wouldn't say that, but yeah, we've done some road stuff, and Kevin Christie, people like that. I got Kevin Christie into comedy, and did I bring you to the store, though?
Yes, and you brought me, then after we did those gigs, you brought me to the store.
I brought you to the comedy store.
You're like, get a job.
So in your early days, you know.
What?
No, I mean, in the early days of your career,
You guys had sex? No.
No, fuck you.
Okay.
No.
Well, yeah, I guess you helped me out.
Helped you out.
Okay. Is that what this podcast is about?
No, holy shit. I didn't realize. It really isn't.
Bringing people in to go, oh, thanks, Bobby.
No, that's what I was doing.
Is it all right. Pay it backwards?
It's not paying backwards. I was just, you know, I just came to a realization that I did do that.
Okay. Well, I I've said many times how thankful I am.
Yeah. Except for that one time.
I get on audio. Except for that one time
where you let Ari Shaffir beat the shit out of me.
That was a different situation.
Did you just watch, Steve?
Oh my God. Define just watching.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you go call for help or did you just
I was the help.
It? Yeah.
And I knew that I had to take care of the situation. I was going to be the first person there.
Yeah.
So I was in the cover booth, in the booth, you know, at the comedy store, they have that little ticket booth.
Yeah.
And I'm inside of that booth. What is going on is outside of the booth. It's Bobby in front of me, Ari next to me. So the battle begins, and they take it to the ground.
Wait, it's not a battle when one side has the weapons.
What the pummeling began, and when I was watching it happen, I could have really, I guess, thrown myself through the window and gone through that way.
Stop.
But instead I just walked around the outside.
Three minutes.
I had to see what was going on and make sure it was bad enough.
It takes 20 seconds to get from where you are to where I was getting my ass kicked.
You know what?
It took you 3 minutes.
I thought you were going to come back.
You really did.
I thought you were making a comeback. I thought you
really did.
I thought I saw you making a fist.
I was knocked out.
I thought you were doing...
But when I revived, maybe.
But I will say, like a true professional, you immediately... I'm talking within a breaking it up. Get off. Get the fuck off. Get off. Fuck you, Laura. Fuck you. Fuck you. What the fuck? Fuck you. Fuck you. Ladies and gentlemen, Bobby Lee. And Bobby, what? And he just goes running on stage.
I do.
Running on stage.
Yeah.
And then with the energy and the, and I mean like. that, you know, adrenaline, just literally
my ass kicked, like kicked in the face about 10 times in the body. I'm half unconscious almost, and I'm on stage. And I'm like
doing crowd work, like not acknowledging, like, guys, hold on, like not like most people, like, guys, hold on, all right, let me just explain something. I know they're not funny, but here's what happened. Bobby was like, "Hey, what's up? How you doing? Oh, good, yeah." And he's like talking to them, but his eyes bleeding. It's starting to knot up.
I was bleeding.
And
then the third time he beat me up.
Were you there
too? That was the first time.
That was the first time. He wasn't there for the second time.
Second time, you were the sucker punch.
You were there for the third time. I'm going to tell you what happened.
I just
tell you what happened. I'm just gonna let you know, the people listening right now, Steve and I are dear friends. I love
absolutely.
Him. I love him
this
immensely.
This comes from a place of love.
It doesn't come from this part. Doesn't come from a place of love. It comes from a different place that I'm not even gonna acknowledge. It's a dark place. It's a place where dreams die. It's a place where, you know, bad things happen.
Vengeful.
Yeah.
Vengeance.
Yeah. Sandy Hook's in that place.
Oh,
well, it's that dark.
Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech's in that place.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's a bad place.
The Korean ferry sinking.
Very bad place.
So what happened was this. I'm at the parking lot, and from behind, this fucking guy hits me from behind. Ari, with his fist. I get knocked to the ground immediately because somebody had told me, you should call the police when that happens. So I go straight to the manager's office. I'm calling, right? And then Steve yanks the fucking phone.
What?
Yeah. Because it happened on a Friday.
Because we settle our own shit.
I
That's
know,
why.
You're right. It is Deadwood. Yeah. I have to defend the Comedy Store. It has no laws. Mm-hmm. It's almost it's a way station.
It wasn't like a customer went over and punched him in the back of the head.
Right. It was in-house.
It was one of the other misfits.
Right. Mm. So it's like, he goes, if you call the police now, Ari's going to spend... I think it was a three-day weekend, too.
It was like one of these things.
And he said that Ari will spend 3 days in prison. And I just said, all right. And then he was banned for a couple of months because of that.
Yep.
He came back, and then I avoided him for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Because every time I'd walk by that guy, he would say the most fucking scandalous bullshit. You're retarded. You're not funny. Oh. You're a horrible actor. Like every line.
Yeah.
And every time I'd walk by that guy, it was the worst day. It would ruin my day. I would avoid him, you know. But then over the years, Steve, you know, and I just want to let you know that I brought Steve to the Comedy Store.
That's the moral of the story.
Yeah. The moral of the story is I brought Steve to the Comedy
And you
store.
Did. And I think that, well, then I got married and I didn't invite you to the wedding. And that's why.
Well, I wasn't even going to bring that up, but since you did.
It was 10 years ago this weekend.
It was.
It was our 10-year anniversary.
So here's a guy that I
discovered.
Brought to the Comedy Store.
But now it's in the middle of all this.
I don't give a fuck.
This has happened. Do you think I need this at my wedding? I can't control these two animals.
Did you invite Ari?
I did, and Ari came. But if I invite, see, here's the deal. I invited Ari, right? And I knew that. I go, Bobby, it's in New York, by the way. The wedding is in New York. So you have to travel to New York, just specifically on Labor Day weekend, to go to a wedding.
He knows
not even in the city, on Long Island.
People know I'm not going to show up.
Yes, people know. So
well,
he's
notorious for giving his RSVP and then not even showing up at all. He's a no-show.
So
I
told
that Elvis. Anyway, let's move on.
So, but then I said to him, once Ari said yes, I know, Bobby will now do either. Like, I didn't realize how much pain and fear he had in his heart at the time. But I'm thinking he was a man and wanted to settle something. So I'm thinking he's going to settle it at my wedding. So he'll say yes and then come and then make it like a thing and then fight Ari and throw him off the balcony.
What would have happened?
I don't know.
What would happen was this. If you asked me, I would have said, I respectfully decline.
Yes.
Thanks for the invite.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't be around Ari.
Yeah.
And that's what your move should have been. I'm not mad at you. You know, I'm just letting you know that the card that you played was wrong. And I want you.
Is that what the name of this podcast is?
Yeah.
The card that you played
you
was wrong?
I want you to look me in the eyes right now.
Okay, Bobby. Hold
and
on.
And say this to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so fucking sorry. Stop. Don't stop laughing. Stop fucking laughing. You fucking white motherfucker right now, dude.
I'm so fucking sorry.
Thank you. Oh my God. That, yeah. You really did it.
We did
look
it.
At your eyes.
I know.
Look at what he, look what he's doing. Uh-huh. That's the shit right there, yeah. Dude.
Yep. You know, I because I've apologized to you for other things, so I just went to that place for a second.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? That's what friendship's all about. You have, you know, falling out, things happen, and then you just mend and you move on. You know, it's life.
It doesn't feel good, though, in the moment. I took a lot of shit out on Natasha.
Oh, my God.
Like,
I mean, Ari, what Ari did to Natasha. Well, I mean, if anyone doesn't know listening, I'm sure you do.
Well, the Comedy Central. Just go to Ari's thing.
Yeah, we talked about the story on All Things. Yeah. Not All Things Comedy. This is not happening on Comedy Central. And is essentially, it was over Ari Shaffir and Natasha Leggero's relationship.
At the time.
And it was really just a crazy time. And when she left and all that stuff happened, I got beat up. One time she was in the, were you there when she was at the patio?
No.
And Ari walks by with a glass of ice. And just throws it in her face. And like, it's, you know, glass ice is, there's shards in it. I mean, you know, there is.
Yes, of course. I'm not saying that.
It's assault.
I'm saying that's the point. Not like how awful the ice is. Like throwing anything at anyone is assault.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You probably won't get shards of ice.
Like if you rolled up a piece of paper and threw it, it'd be like, yeah, I get that. But that you could hurt somebody with that.
Yeah. It's a lot. And he knows it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's taken him a long time.
And he hit a... I remember the day he called me out of nowhere. I mean,
he asked me for your number.
He did?
Yep. And I remember I texted you to see if it was okay.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But then he didn't use it for a long time, I guess. And then you said, did you give him my number? And I said, I gave him your number like, I don't know, six months ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think it took him a while.
That's how ugly it was.
Ooh, yeah. It was really ugly.
Uglier
than probably if you and Soto, probably, right?
You don't have to bring that up.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the Soto war that I had with him.
Which would have been over.
It would have been over, number one. And number two.
But his wife still hates you.
She does. Yeah. But it would have been over. But I honestly say, I will tell you right now, to this day, I don't know what it was about. And.
Well, you can't now.
I can't because he passed. But he shifted. Anyway, I don't even want to talk about that. Maybe on a later date.
Okay.
But now it's getting really real.
Okay. Steve made it real.
Nonetheless,
all right.
We're good.
Everyone's
good with that Ari stuff. And then Saturday night, I saw you at the store.
Yep.
And you were a little tipsy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got scared. Why?
Why?
You know why.
Because I get aggressive with you.
You get sexually aggressive with me.
Oh. I know.
Wait, you're complaining?
No. It's not in a funsy way.
Because he prefers to do it to you. He never wants to be the recipient of the sexual aggression.
Very early on, I went to Catholic school. I knew how to combat that. I went back at him. Mm. Extra aggressive, extra hard, and extra, like, even more passionate than you wanted to come at me.
Yes.
Passionate.
So I outpassion
you. The only two people that have been able to combat me is Ren Azizi and Dane Cook. I used to do it to Dane Cook all the time. One time he tackled me, he put me in a leg lock, and he literally dry humped my stomach until he almost came.
Really?
Yeah, and then I was like, I'm not fucking with this guy. This guy's for real.
Yeah,
this guy's for real.
And then with you,
I was
in
drunk
Vegas.
In Vegas.
Tell him what you did.
I just won some money, and I drank a lot that night. And I found Bobby in the middle of a casino, and I just pinned him up against the slot machine.
You went for it behind me.
Yeah, behind him. Pinned is usually...
So he put me in a kind of a rear naked chokehold, but he had cash in his hand.
So the money's
in my face.
Flailed out like
and
this.
Then and then he squeezes... And he proceeds to dry hump me, right? And like the cash is
in the middle of Caesars,
face.
in the middle of Caesars.
And he wouldn't let go.
And people,
it went on for 5-6 minutes.
Yeah, not that long.
I'm like, stop! And it's hitting me in the face, and it was just like, and I just realized, this is assault. It's sexual assault. I should call the police. And I knew never to fuck with him again in that way.
Yeah, that was
because you're only into light fondling. You're not into full humps. You're into just like the grazing of the nipple.
Yeah, I'm not into like physical control and being dominated by another man in that way. I don't like. Because he was, I don't know what it was, but
he was alcohol.
Extra strong that night.
It was the alcohol.
You get strong when you drink?
Everyone gets stronger when they drink, I think. You know
who you remind me when you get drunk? Steve Trevino.
Mm. Interesting.
You guys are the same way. Just, you don't know what's going to happen. No, they're really, like, Saturday night when I saw you.
Really?
I took a couple of steps back. I smelt it on you. You had the fucking old crazy eyes. You were no longer the dad that you are now.
Yeah,
you
were back to the Laguna Beach for the night.
Because I used to live above the Comedy Store. Literally above, where if you went to my patio, it looked down on the parking lot of the store.
You could throw rocks at his place.
Yeah. Like, 4 a.m. one night, I'm sleeping. This is what I hear. I'm not fucking gay. Lee! Lee! Get down here! I'm gonna kick your fucking ass.
Wait, what?
Yeah. And I'm like in bed, right? Right? I'm like half asleep. And I knew who it was. I go, it's Renaissance. And he's been drinking. It's scary.
Yeah. Well, you got me into that mess.
What do you mean?
You got me into the Comedy Store.
Yeah, yeah.
I just never, I could never, I, you know, we were there. I was there so much. You were there so much. That I could never imagine being that close and not being there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So even if you were that, because you were that close, I was like, you're still here. So
yeah,
I was
there.
Scream at you.
I was
still
pretty much there.
Yeah, you
were
pretty much there.
It's Paulie's house.
Yeah.
It's attached to the store kind of in a weird way. Yeah.
Yeah, you were always kind of there.
I was always there, yeah.
How was that, though? Did you ever, like, miss spots and stuff? Did people ever, no one cared back then.
Back then, it wasn't a real business.
No.
Remember?
No, it wasn't.
I mean, the nights of just hanging out with Dice and
videotaping things
and
like what you thought was just home movies,
yeah,
and then were just home movies.
It was literally a place where you could just shoot heroin or like fuck
anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And there was no boss.
Yeah, I mean, like when I told you I worked the cover booth, sold tickets, like half the time I would be outside, like in the parking lot, throwing the football around.
Yeah,
and like people would, because we had no customers,
right?
So it would be, the show would start at 9. No, so here we go. The guy's playing the piano, and 9 o'clock. Open the doors, and to no one. So
I'm
you're not, out there. You're like,
sometimes
the door guys,
on a Friday night in the OR, you would have 8 people, and they're like, "Should we start?"
Was there ever a time that the Comedy Store was possibly on the verge of closing down?
That time,
that was the time
we're talking about it. Yeah.
And I feel like that was also the toughest time to be in comedy, because the medium had died.
So if it wasn't the Comedy Store at that time, was what club was the place to be? Was it Laugh Factory? Or
yeah, Improv
it?
Laugh Factory were the ones to play.
Because Dane Cook was at the Improv, and Dublin's was the show that everyone wanted
to
do.
Oh, that's right.
Tuesdays,
yeah.
It was the Tuesday night show that everyone wanted to do. That's the one that everyone wanted to be on. Like, I mean, you wanted to be passed at a place, but... You know, like, I don't know who I was telling. Maybe it was Jesus or something. But the amount of, you know, moving around from club to club there is now was never like that back then. Like, you either were at the Comedy Store for the most part, or the Laugh Factory, or the Improv.
Yeah, like, we're really considered sort of store comics around, because we started there, and that's our, you know, and that's why it's still always going to be, even if, I mean, it's a hot club now, it's like the number one club in L.A., the Comedy
Store. Turnover was almost overnight. It's incredible how even when I first started dating him, it was still relatively kind of, you know, not as cool.
I attribute it to podcasts and the podcast boom of that started 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. That now those people that were, you know, 15, 16, 17 that were listening to those podcasts are now 24, 25, 26. And now they don't necessarily have like weekend cash money, like 30, 40 right. bucks for a ticket, but they can spend $15 on a Tuesday and say Joe Rogan's name at the door and get in for $15 and you sell the room out 2 times a night because people are listening to all these podcast people that are
but
there.
But it's also the lineups.
Yeah, the lineups are great. You know, I'm saying between podcasts and Netflix, I think it's opened the door up to all these people who are like, I can go see those people for $15.
But our lineups used to be the worst lineups in America. Yeah, but the lineups were so bad.
They were in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
And they were, and you know, it's like, you know, Aaron Kader, Argus Hamilton, Aaron Kader, Ahmed Ahmed, Argus Hamilton.
Say no more,
Betsy
fam.
Betsy Salkind. Like, it goes, wait, like, the
like
bees.
Argus. Yeah,
it goes
the bees.
Down.
Yeah,
you know,
you're
like,
right.
So,
you're
Bobby
right.
Lee.
Yeah.
You know, but you would have got a spot anyway, Bobby. But, you know.
Yeah, I survived all the regimes, which is like,
yeah, well,
it makes me feel good about that.
But did you have to fight people, I mean, to keep your spot? I mean, especially these days. with the transition over from Tommy to Adam?
That's a good question, because I was going to ask you something. Like, it's no joke. Like, I don't know where you work out new stuff now, but
I can't.
It's very difficult it's so to difficult. Fit in 3 minutes of new stuff when you're going on after Bill or going on after you or going on. Like, it's Murderer's Row now for, like, the, you know,
yeah,
the
it
whole
was,
thing.
I mean, the other night was Jeselnik, D'Elia, yeah. Bill Burr, Rogan. And then you go up and you're like, I have to kill.
Yeah.
It's a sold out room. Mm. I have to kill.
Yes.
Was before, I was saying this the other day to a doorman, when there was no one at the club, you could go up there and just talk.
Yes, that's what I was going to get. That's what yeah. I was getting to. Was like, you know, the older days. I say that now on Wednesday. I'm like, if you put all the people on a Wednesday night, every Wednesday, the 52 Wednesdays in the year of 2004, put them all together, you would not be able to sell out one show that the way they do it every Wednesday now. Every
yeah.
Wednesday, oh. Tuesday.
Sold out.
Those rooms, those nights were impossible.
Yeah.
We wouldn't start shows till 10:30, 11 o'clock sometimes.
When it was supposed to start at 9.
Yeah.
Because people didn't
one was in
drunk.
The room.
We had to wait for drunk shit. Tourists to come out and be done with dinner.
Yeah. It was run by homicidal comedians.
It wasn't a welcoming.
Eddie Griffin.
It was before social media to be able to.
Mencia.
Yeah.
Dice. Those types.
That's the other thing. It was like the lineups were hijacked a lot. Almost every
hijacked.
Night of the week.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Young tells a story. I was there, actually. He didn't tell a story. I was there where he had a showcase for 7 minutes. He brought, you know, because Mike knows a lot of people. And you know, he kind of papered the room. He invited everyone he knew. And he's getting brought up on stage. This is a showcase for like an agent. And they go, Mike Young. And then in the back he hears, I'm going up, motherfucker. And it was Eddie Griffin. He walks up there. And did 3 hours.
Yeah.
So he wasn't even able to showcase.
Yeah.
And that kind
no
of.
No one said, can say anything?
Well.
No, who?
Oh.
There was really no. It's sort of. We ran the asylum. But the bad that came with that was like. You couldn't say no to someone who was like Eddie Griffin. There was no one there bigger than Eddie Griffin.
Right.
Now there's sort of. It's run more like a business where. You know, we still have artistic freedom and all that stuff, and we go on. But, like, there's a hierarchy business-wise where, you know, you can't exactly just take over the room anymore. You know, there was Mitzi before, and it was like Mitzi was there, and she said that you could do it and to kind of pass on the tradition of being bumping and having the younger comedians be like, oh, they have to wait, but they get to watch. Mm-hmm. But once she went away and wasn't there as much, the tradition stayed, but there was no cop to police it. So it was just sort of like we policed it ourselves, and it sucked.
Yeah, it was
terrible. Why would you show up if you were a good comedian? Why would you show up at 10 o'clock when you knew 3 out of the 5 nights you're doing this, you're going to get fucking bumped till at least 12:30?
Oh, you would get a spot at 9:30 and not even show up. You knew you weren't going to go up. Oh,
yeah.
You knew you weren't going to go up. That's how bad it was.
So it just became like other rooms became more popular to do.
Do you just, as a younger comedian, just grit and bear? And do you build all these resentments?
I work there, so I was like, I'm in, you know.
Yeah, but we survived all that. We didn't leave. We stuck to our guns. We eventually, inevitably, got more stage time. Then the regime changed. Then Tommy took over. And I think that was one shift. In a positive way.
Yeah. Well, once there was like one person that was like the talent coordinator, you knew that there was like one
Tommy
person.
Was a guy, although he was a control freak and he thought that he was the center of the universe.
Yes.
He still put up better lineups and there was no more doing 1 hour. Like everyone did 15 to 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yes. There was someone you had to talk to now, mm-hmm. of at least.
It's somebody, yeah.
Tommy wasn't the most logical person all the time, but there was at least someone that you had to go through to get that.
You tell
stuff
a story on stage, and whenever you tell it, I say to myself, I don't remember that.
Okay, I can tell you exactly.
Okay, just
I
be quiet for a second. I'm going to just say
Springs
what.
Okay, I will tell
if
you.
If I bring
details.
Steve Renazzisi on stage, he'll go, that guy, we were driving to Palm Springs. Just listen.
Okay. Because you're already trying to cut the length.
I'm not
of the
cutting
story
the length. I'm not cutting it. I'm just saying that
you're gonna give
this
quick
is a
soundbite details.
I don't give a fuck because you're saying it in front of 250 people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a night.
Yep.
Strangers.
Yep.
That we did a gig in Palm Springs. He was driving. Just let me finish.
Wrong already.
All right, you fine. Let me finish. You looked in back of me, and I was masturbating in the car.
Yep.
Nope.
I feel like that's everybody's story of you.
Here's exactly what happened. I'll tell you. Bobby picked me up in his car. Okay? Picked me up in his car. We were going to go do the Sandy Shore, had a room that she was running at the whatever Fantasy Springs Casino. Do you want to come open for me? Wonderful. I probably worked at the store for about 2 months at this time. He picks me up. We're driving. He goes, we have to stop at the bank first. Unorganized Bobby. He goes, reach in the back. I have a couple checks on the floor. I reach in the back on the floor. I remember this. Or two checks from Mad TV for like whatever, thousands of dollars with footprints on the top of them. Right? Footprints on the top of them. He collects those, puts them into the bank. Right? Now we're driving. I have never been anywhere besides Los Angeles. We're driving and I start to see those spinning things. Right? And we're talking about, you know, he's smoking cigarettes. He's got the window open. And I'm seeing, and I'm kind of just zoning out the window. And I wasn't asleep, but I was zoning out. And I look over, I come back, and he's got a cigarette, and he's got, his pants are open, and his hands are in his pants. And look, maybe he wasn't jerking off, but he was comfortable enough to unsheath himself, unrobe himself, pull out his penis, which I saw. It wasn't like he was masked. And maybe not pleasure himself to the point of ejaculation, but... move it around to make it much more comfortable and I will dare say pleasurable for you. Am I incorrect in any of that?
Let me ask you a question then. Can I ask you a question, sir?
Sure, sure, sure.
Whose car was it?
Your car.
Exactly.
Yes.
Whose gig was it?
Your gig.
Exactly.
I'm not saying there's any
and
wrong.
And what country do we live in?
Your country.
Not my country. We live in the United States of America.
America, yes.
The land of the fucking free.
Yes.
All right?
Yep.
And so I could have been masturbating. I could have been itching my fucking sack. You don't fucking know, sir.
Absolutely.
Right?
You're right.
And it's no right for you to tell in front of 200 fucking 50 people that I was masturbating. And then you made a joke about it. What's the joke? The punchline. Tell them the punchline.
Put on some Kenny G or something.
Yeah. Because you asked me, you go, what are you doing? This is how I relax. And then you say on stage,
no,
just put on some Kenny G or something.
I believe you. And the reason I believe
you, know what,
is because
since this motherfucker been on here, I mean, you can sit with me one time.
To corroborate your story, Trevino said that he
all right.
He dumped you in the middle of a desert freeway because you started jerking off in the back of his car.
Right, you know Steve Trevino.
So, I mean, how can not, you know, go ahead.
I'm in Houston, Texas. His brother's driving. They picked me up from the airport.
You're like real Texans, man.
I know. He was living there. So his brother's driving, Steve's, and we're on the freeway. I don't really barely know Steve, you know, Trevino, but just to let him know what I'm about.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's like marking your territory, really.
Yes. Which is why I then knew that day. Good. I had to switch. I have to take a different approach with you.
Exactly.
I'm going to over-sexualize my... I'm
and you
back.
Win. That's why you
yes,
won.
I know. And that's why I can't
but
talk
you know
about
what Trevino did?
What did he do?
He pulled over the side of the freeway and kicked me out of the fucking car and drove away.
What?
Yeah.
What did you do?
I had to go to a phone booth and call somebody to get pick me up.
You had to... This is...
I didn't
cell
know
phone?
Him. No, I think it was pre-cell phone.
Whoa.
And I jerked off in his car. He vomited. No, he pulled over and vomited.
What? Did you
come? Hey, bro. He goes, hey, bro, get out. I didn't come.
How hard were you?
Half. Oh. Half chub.
You know, when you don't know somebody and you do that, that's where I learned a valuable lesson.
Yeah, well, you know
you
why?
You have to do that only with people something? That you kind of already know. Already.
Yes, yeah. And even so.
Right, right?
He was with his brother.
Yeah.
He had to. Because even if he was by himself, he might have got away with a little bit more. But he can't be like that in front of his brother. His brother will
if
know
I did
that
it
he's
now,
weak now.
If I did it now, he wouldn't have pulled over and he would laugh.
He probably would have.
By the time he didn't know me, you know?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Okay, so anyway, again, you're allowed to.
So you prey on people when you don't know them as well. And that's your MO.
I'm not a coyote. I'm prey. I'm not an animal.
Okay.
I'm not a predator. I'm a good guy. I'm just trying to live my life.
These are all.
And
yes.
You have defense mechanisms.
You do.
Everyone has them. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I just also want to say, just as a fact, that Steve Renazzisi, in my opinion, is a very good stand up. Also, but secondly, very good looking, very good actor. His fingers are like fucking somebody that was retarded. You have Down syndrome fingers.
I will say this.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Thank
you
very much.
Have you seen his thumbs?
Thank you very much. I'll get to you in a second. Okay, yeah, I'll get to you
in a second. Look me in the eyes.
Number one.
Yeah.
Number one, thank you very much for the compliments. I appreciate all those things you said about how good-looking I am, how good of an actor I am, and the stand-up situation. I appreciate that. Number two, yes, my fingers are not attractive. I was not blessed with, you know, long and big beds of nails. I have tiny triangle nails, and I bite my nails, which makes it even worse. Okay, this is all true.
All I wanted out of you.
This is all these things are true. All these things are true. Absolutely.
Okay.
But
yes,
if we are building a finger, and more specifically, fingernail hall of shame, well, then right next to my bus, sir, will be your disgusting can opener like fucking fingers. You fucking animal. Look at that. First of all, do we even need to talk about the years of glue that we have ruined? Whatever cuticle situation you had going on before,
yeah,
it's been ruined by years of Elmer's glue.
Okay.
So now,
but
why would you ever choose that to throw at me as a stone?
Because I'll tell you why.
With your disgusting fingers.
I'll tell you why.
Throw them with your disgusting.
My selling point, right, isn't, hey, I'm fucking good looking and I'm funny. My selling point is this and this fucked up thing. What I'm saying to you is that good, shitty.
Yes, okay. Ah. My selling point is not selling my sexuality on stage, okay?
Right.
It's hardly
right.
the, what I'm doing up there.
I'm sorry.
But
I don't know why I'm doing it. I should have brought it up.
But
you're right.
I do have, I'm more, we did on the league 7 years of looking at people's fantasy scores,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they would never use
your fingers.
Because we, you know, disgust. I mean, it's like,
oh, yeah, damn,
I bite my nails and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, me too,
like,
me
if
too.
It happens to be a good day, like today's not bad.
It's pretty good, yeah.
You'd be like, oh, okay, that's not
and you lost
bad.
Weight. You look great, actually.
Wait, what? How did what? We go? What? From nails to weight? When did I need to
no,
lose
you
weight?
Look really good, though. I just realized.
Thank
speaking
you.
Speaking of your mongoloid fingers, yeah. Do
I mean,
you know that slavery still exists in Korea and that if you were living there, you'd be like relegated to the salt mines?
Because North
they,
Korea?
No, in South Korea, they still have
oh, slavery.
Yeah, so they take mentally disabled people
check,
to
check.
Work. check.
So far, Bobby, you got two checks.
So
horrible thumbs and mentally disabled.
Yeah, they have them work with no pay in the salt mines.
Perfect. do they give them free cigarettes?
That's where you'd be seeing.
Plan B.
Baby,
anyway,
you just fucking threw me out on the bus again, man.
South Korea slavery.
Wow. Yeah.
Damn.
It's a real thing.
Someone's got to
build those
Olympic stadiums. But
it's like an open secret.
So, I don't want to talk about the 9/11 stuff.
Thank you.
I really don't.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I do have my opinions about it, which I need to express.
Okay.
All right. I have my opinions about
it. You know what? Before he even states his opinions,
okay.
we talked about it on the podcast in one of our earlier episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he defended
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
I took the I played devil's advocate and I took the opposing, you
mm-hmm.
know, end of the
I honestly
discussion.
Believe.
And he, I mean, we got into a huge fight afterwards because he defended you like I've never seen even Kathleen Zellner defend Stephen
yeah,
Avery.
I'm going to just say this before. I mean, you don't have to talk about it. I'm
okay.
just going to let you know.
What is that?
You want a haichu?
It's Korean. It's,
yeah, sure.
You want a haichu?
These
really good.
No, these ginger chews
no,
are
you,
better.
You, know, you want these ginger chews? They're fucking amazing.
I don't
like ginger?
I like ginger, but not too much.
All right, it's too much then.
The other one then.
Yeah, get one. Don't get a banana, though.
You got some in your gift bag as well.
Oh, cool. Thank yeah. you.
Is this banana, babe?
I don't know.
Before we dive into this 9/11
brought
stuff.
Brought to you by Haichu, Korean candy.
Also, just to put it out there, in
okay.
this episode, I mean, in this podcast, our motto is lie to win. We think that it is appropriate in life to lie to win. And that's one of his
no,
most
no.
famous quotes.
But no, here's the thing. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. Of,
yes.
The truth of it is this, uh-huh. is that I never took it seriously when you even said it. I thought it was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Dice used to call you number
T2.
Right? T2, whatever. And I always thought it was some sort of embellished little story. So we never talked about it.
You were exactly right.
I have never talked to you about it ever in the history of our relationship. Because that's how little, you know what I mean, I heard it.
And also because I do believe you embellish the same thing. I mean, you guys are comedians.
I
so
say this. I
sense
say,
of-
you know, like, you know how a guy with Down syndrome molested me? I say
mm-hmm.
it happened every day for 3 summers in a row. It happened 3 times. Mm-hmm. But as a comedian on stage, and you say things, you exaggerate things, embellish it to make it shiny, right? But I'm not running for office. I'm not a political figure. I am a storyteller and a muse. And I dance and I sing and I do things, whatever I can, to get people to respond to it, you know? So that's essentially my job. If I ever run for office, which will never happen because of my drug addiction and all that stuff, but my sexual things. But, like, yeah. But yeah, so I always thought that. And then so then when the thing broke, I was kind of just shocked by it. And then, but I think that you've done a really good job of mending the situation. Do you feel like it's done, or
I don't know what done is, but I mean, for me, well, you know what, let's go back to what you were saying before. The fact that you have known me for one of the people that I met first here, mm-hmm. and the way you talked about the fact that we never talked about it, that was what it was, I think. I knew what I said was wrong right away. You tell a lie, you're like, oh, what the fuck? You know, but in the context of the way I told it, you told it to us like 4 or 5 strangers to make yourself seem a little cooler.
Yeah.
Never in your wildest mind are you going to think that everything that you ever say is going to be recorded and talked about. And, you know, and so that is not something that even in 2001 was even something that was ever on my mind. So. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, okay, so I'll tell my friends later on the real situation. But then, like you said, we never really talked about it. I never leaned on that story. I never really, you know, constantly talked about it. So I thought it was just done with. But then, you know, everything came out. And I texted you to apologize to you.
Yeah,
especially.
Why? I was just like, what? But, I just thought that it was crazy how kind of big it got a little bit, right? I mean, you must have been in a painful whirlwind.
I think that's rough. Also, the reason is because all this hypervigilance of fact-checking is a little excessive. It's like, think about everybody who lived before us, before the age of information. You know, like, just as humans, that's what we do. We embellish stories. We make, you know, whatever book we want to write about our lives. It's never accurate. It's always we're looking for an angle. How do we tell it best? Or how do we make it? How do we make ourselves, like, seem more important? I think that, you know, people are hypervigilant about bringing other people down.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only imagine, you know, the vitriol that probably
I had
to deal with, like, that day of.
I also know why people were angry.
Oh.
Yeah, you're aware. It's an obvious reason why. And I don't blame them for being angry. You know, it was people lost their lives during that tragedy. Mm-hmm. And it was the biggest, you know, event, mm-hmm. I think, in American history, that one event.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand, you know, why people were like, you know, with their fucking torches. But at the same time, it's like it wasn't something that you, in my opinion, you know, just bombarded me with. It was something that you said maybe once, many, many years ago. And might not even heard it from him. I heard it from Dice or whoever I might have been. So for me, just a guy that knew Steve, it just wasn't something that we talked about. So when it all became a big thing, I understood it. But at the same time, it's like, you know, and you know what pissed me off the most is some people, comics, would say, well, you know, he got all this acting shit and all this because of that. And it's like, no.
I can't say anything about that. I'm not allowed to. I guess I'm in the penalty box when it comes to that.
I'm going to tell you something.
Okay.
Okay. I've been on a show with Steve. We did an NBC show called True. What's it?
That wasn't True Romance.
No, not True Romance. What was it called?
Chicago One, right?
Yeah, Chicago One. What was it called? Romancing?
State of Romance.
State of Romance. We were both series regular.
I talked to Steve Howie today, by the way.
Good. He's a good dude. Yeah. Stevie Howie was in it. Me, Renan Zizzi. He did a movie with Eddie Murphy. You know, he did a bunch of other things. And on The League, obviously. And those are things that they vet you so hard to get on those motherfucking shows. Mm-hmm. It's not about favors. It's not about, you have to go in and you have to audition and you have to beat people out. You have to be tested, right? There has to be deals that to be made. They're not going to just give somebody something, you know what I mean? Based on, you know, it has to be talent.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that this guy has done, everything is because he's gifted and he's super fucking talented. There are times in my life I didn't like him. You know, like when that time when R.I. beat the shit out of me and stuff like that. But still, if somebody were to ask me, do you think Steve's funny? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a beast. I mean, in fact, me, Freddie Soto, even the guys that were a little above him, we all could see that he had, you know, a real ability. And his acting is, you know how hard it is to be a stand-up comedian and then to break into the acting world? People come to me all the time, how come you don't do movies? I want to.
Yeah.
I want to. All of them.
Yeah.
It's just they won't hire me because it's so fucking hard. Not only does everyone want to be in the fucking movie, right? You have to be vetted, man. It's like, it's really, you got to. So it's like all that other stuff. So those comics that
I was saying,
said that.
When the story broke, I was calling people and talking to people. And I was like, you know what? I got to call Jeannie McCarthy, who casted The League.
Yeah.
And I called her, and her secretary was like, hold on. She's actually coming off a flight right now. And I was like, all right, cool. So I call her. I was like, hey, Jeannie, what's up? And she wouldn't mind me telling this. And I was like, I just go into it. I was like, I'm so sorry. And like, I'm sure she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, where? She's like, I'm coming from Amsterdam. I have no idea what you're talking about.
She was on a plane.
So I told her, and she's like, I still have no idea what you're. She's like, I didn't even know that you said that you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even have. And this is the woman that cast the show.
Yeah.
You know, and put a lot of different, put me in a couple different things. Yeah, I had absolutely no idea.
She's never booked me on anything. In fact, I'm being real. I'm to Jeannie McCarthy. Out of all the jobs I've ever had, is never has come from her.
I have to have a rant
a little bit. I'm sorry.
She hired you on The League?
No.
That'd be Jeff. That was Jeff.
You son of a bitch. You know what that was.
I know you,
yeah. Kroll, Jeff, the showrunner.
Yeah, but
I know him from Curb.
Yeah, from Curb and from...
You think that I ever went to Jeannie McCarthy's office? No. Right? She's never called me in. I've never gotten a job from her. I've tried to get into her rooms. She won't see me. So I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about with this
lady.
You
better start lying, sweetie.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that it would probably...
I might say that I was in Pearl Harbor.
I think you should.
Wait, the movie or you were part of Pearl Harbor?
Yeah,
she
was there.
Pearl Harbor.
You weren't
in that one.
Or say you escaped the salt mines.
I escaped the salt mines of South
Korea. You're a South Korean refugee.
Yeah.
You did play.
All my jobs is from Allison Jones, and that's it.
Webster too, right?
Everything. Every single job.
I've never got hired by her. I mean, I've gone in a couple times. But.
Yeah. Yeah, but at least you go in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess everyone has their person.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
But anyway.
Do you have resentments like that toward show business people?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's
anger?
A resentment. I feel like I've read for Paul Feig a lot of times.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah.
I wish.
He's a nice guy.
Super nice guy.
I mean,
Every time I see him, I've had dinner
with him.
He's a.
And I've never been hired.
Really?
No.
Yes, you have.
I swear to God, I haven't. In fact, when Ghostbusters...
Well, didn't he do Mad TV?
No.
He had nothing to do with Mad TV?
No.
Did he direct
did
Mad
he
TV?
Not
no,
do
Katie
Paul?
Dippold. Katie Dippold, who was one of our writers at Mad TV, wrote Ghostbusters. But that's the only
connection. I thought he was
And Adam Ray's on Mad TV. But no, I've had dinner with Paul, and I tried to get into Ghostbusters, and I called
But again,
agent.
I have no resentment towards him.
I don't either. I love the guy. He's
really
talented.
Yes.
Just everybody, he's hot, and you want to work with him.
Yes.
You know, I was like with the Judd for many years, and then he put me on Love. But my point is that I guess the timing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not. Eventually, a role is going to come up, and he's going to use
Hopefully,
you.
Hopefully, yeah. And same
but
thing.
But
you
know, are there any people though that you know that will never use you?
Sure, there are. I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
There probably are. No one's ever come up to me on the streets and yelled at me. As a matter of fact, I've had a couple people come up and be like, you know, I lost a family member or this or that. But to me, you know, what you did was, you know, it wasn't smart. It wasn't the brightest thing in the world, but you're a human being and nothing you did or said could ever bring my family member back. Or, you know,
but you also went on Stern and that was an amazing thing. I think that went a long way.
Yeah, that was.
And the second thing that you did was do the roast battle.
Well, that was
it was still
idea. But
how did you do?
Terrible. It wasn't my thing.
It was terrible.
Like, it's a different thing. It's a whole
different. It was terrible.
But I was there.
I felt it.
I mean, I know I really don't have a lot of legs to stand on, but I was there.
Your line, your first joke.
It was too wordy.
Why did you do that?
Can we get a recap of the joke?
Bobby.
I mean, you could have had a smaller joke.
Bobby.
With a quicker. I mean, I don't.
Bobby,
know.
Let me tell you something. Okay?
I'm not.
You're not particularly good at roasting yourself.
That's
what
why
are
I didn't
talking?
Fucking do it.
Well, no, yeah. You didn't do it because I begged you not to do it.
They asked me to do it too, you know that, right?
Sure. Well, yeah.
It's just
someone
not
should
his
have
thing.
Begged me. I didn't tell my wife till after I said yes. I actually said yes because I was on mushrooms with Ari at Bonnaroo.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like,
with Adam
he's like,
was there too.
It's your homecoming. It's going to be your bar mitzvah. It's going to be your baptism. You get rid of all the past, get it all behind you. And I'm like, you're right, Bobby. It's all the sacraments in one. I'll get it. I said yes.
Oh. Yeah.
And then they said the finals are going to be televised on Comedy Central. I said, I'm not going to be in the finals. I got tickets to Radiohead. I got those tickets 2 months
so
ago.
So you didn't
and
think
going,
that your segment was going to be on TV?
Whether or not it was on television or not, if I said yes, I should have been prepared to
I
be
said
on.
Yes.
And I was prepared.
This
except
is what happened.
When I got
My
there.
Agents called me and they just said, nope.
Yeah.
I go, why not? Stia's going to do it. Nope. You're not going to do the roast battle on television your very first time.
Yeah.
But in your case, I thought, no, but no, listen, I'm being
yes,
real.
Yes, I wasn't going there to try to show a new, I was just going to take some lumps.
Yeah, and I think that's probably, I told Bobby this, you know, like I don't particularly know you very mm-hmm. well. We've always just said, I thought that was actually a really good move. I think that sometimes if, you know, the public sees you in one way, to actually receive some type of like public lynching is sometimes good for you.
Yeah.
It makes
yeah.
you.
Sort of makes it.
Yeah. You're, it's in. Yeah.
Look, I would have, regardless of the lumps I took, I would have liked to have done better myself. Now, that being said, I watched it and I never watched mine, but I watched it like the next night and two nights later, and I was like, oh, I want to try it. Like, I know what I would like. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all it is. It's a kind of figuring out.
Yeah.
Like, tuning
yeah,
a couple
yeah.
times.
I mean,
maybe
you
not the
have
first time
it.
On television.
You know, it's oh, you know, it's just when
but
you.
But Bobby,
when
think
you
about it like this. Think about it like this, right?
I know,
you have to not only give the exposition because look, everyone knows the exposition for me. Mm-hmm. We know what's coming. I have
yeah.
to set up exposition. What I should have done is just made an eyebrow joke right away. Boom, something simple that just got that.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah,
got yeah. it. But yeah. I tried to set up exposition, bing, 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 a really funny thing, and it would just. And then think about it. How many times have you tripped over a single word ever in an OR set? And imagine like the first 10 words you say are the most precious 10 words you're ever going to come out of your mouth. Because if you don't land them, you're going to have 5 people come on stage and fake being the Twin Towers and fall down on the ground
oh,
and
shit.
Watch the entire audience go crazy. So it's a whole different ball of wax.
Man.
It really is.
What you just said right now just put chills down my spine.
That's exactly what happened.
Who the fucking fell down? Jeremiah Watkins?
I don't know.
Those fucking guys?
Yes, of course. The wave.
The all Negro
They're
wave.
They're going to fucking get it.
Yeah. And look, I don't blame anyone for doing it. That's everyone doing their job.
But it was fucking brave that you did it. It really was.
I would have loved to have performed better. But
it doesn't matter. You fucking did it.
Yeah.
And that's fucking the bravest thing you can do, dude.
It is what it is. Thank you.
Well, I mean, okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I
but,
mean, yeah.
I think you should do it.
No, God, no. No.
Why? You want me to do it?
He wants you to do
you
it. Real
to,
bad.
Fuck you, Steve. You want me to do it.
It's a
that.
Sabotage.
It because
no,
I'm telling you, I think you'll do better than... And I'm not... Don't use me as a barometer. I'm telling you, Bobby.
Sweetie.
Because you're more free. I had a bit of a too... I was too game-planned. I had too, like, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to do. Like, yeah. If I had a little bit of more loosey-goosey to me, which... It's not a loosey-goosey environment, but you're a loosier, goosier person more naturally than I am. And
yeah.
I think you
I
wouldn't...
think I could take hits good because
yeah.
I'm good at absorbing. Like,
yeah.
there's nothing people can say
yes,
that's
you're going to laugh at
me.
Yourself. Exactly.
Yeah.
He's a bad actor. Fine. He's fat. I know. You know what I mean?
Whatever it is. Yeah.
He hasn't written a new joke in 5 years. Okay.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
But Bobby, the hard part is looking at it, for, in my case, a stranger.
Right.
A stranger who I don't know at all, who I have no ill will towards, whatever, and now I have to say horrible things about this person.
That's why
and
it's
people
not
that
fair.
They love.
You, how do you know? Here's a guy. You.
Yeah.
You're in public life.
Yes.
You're you know a celebrity. You're a celebrity.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair.
Just admit that you're a celebrity.
No, I won't. I mean,
yeah,
why
yeah,
would
yeah,
you try
no,
to make me
to
look?
No.
Why would you
no,
walk
stop,
me
stop,
down
stop,
that
stop,
street
stop.
Of hubris?
Look at me right now, because you're trying to be like humble. You know what I mean? I just like,
I think
look
we're
at
in
me
the
right
same
now.
Boat. We're in the same
I'm
boat.
I'm not a celebrity.
Oh, no. If you're not a celebrity, then I'm not a celebrity. We get asked for pictures just as often as
we're
each other.
We're celebrities.
Great.
It feels weird.
It does feel weird.
It feels really weird.
No, but do you see anyone else? Does anyone ask your brother for a picture at the airport?
Oh, by the way, I'm glad you mentioned my brother.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Is he...
And I just want to... He's not going to listen to
is
this.
Is he under the table the whole time? Under the,
no, but my brother has a little resentment towards you.
Why?
It's a little big resentment.
It's a little big resentment. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, and I don't know. I know where it comes from.
Oh, my God. Why? Look at this man.
I know this one.
You beat him out of a commercial.
No, that's not what it was.
Oh.
This is how he explains it. And this happened years ago, right?
Oh,
and
no,
he's still,
no.
I know,
is
he harbors.
Is this an Aqua thing?
Yeah, he harbors a little fucking resentment. Well, just listen. Just listen, right? He says,
I love
that,
him.
I know you do. And I keep telling him that. He's like, no, dude, he knows what he did. Which he doesn't, right?
I honestly have no idea.
I know exactly. But you guys, like, he had auditioned. You guys auditioned for the same thing?
A commercial?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Okay.
So that's how long it goes back, right? And then when you walked out, you said something like, yeah, you know, try following that.
No. It wasn't. Like that. That's not accurate.
Why? What did he say?
He didn't do well. He walked out of the room kind of bummed.
Who,
that,
Steve did?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah. Okay. No.
Yeah,
you were going to go after him.
Okay.
And he didn't do well. You go in and you got the job.
Uh-huh.
And then you come out and you're like, that's how you book a commercial.
Yeah, something like that.
That's
what it was. Yeah.
Very humble, Steve.
Right.
Very humble.
Yeah.
First of all, does anyone ever book a commercial in the room where they're like, you have it, and then go out there and like,
No,
ever.
So you
not,
walk
yeah.
out just
so number
as
one, it's a
confused,
lie.
As shamed as everyone else.
Yeah.
I probably just faked it better.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely got in the car and cried a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't remember
it's
this.
It's unfounded, and I don't know why, but he has that. I don't know what it is.
Wow.
I mean, he's mad at Barry Katz, too.
I have a little ill will towards Barry Katz, too.
Can we talk about it for a second?
I just always was like, why don't you look at me? But thank
God.
Who
is Barry Katz?
I don't know who that is.
Barry Katz is
a manager.
A manager. Mm. And at one point in his career, he probably had the most power.
Yeah.
Because he had Chappelle.
Everyone. Cook.
Mm.
Dane Cook.
He doesn't have them anymore?
No.
Everyone left.
Whoa. I don't know who else is.
I think Caliendo and Jay Moore is still with Barry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Piotr, the guy that's on Matt TV.
Impressionist.
He's with Barry.
But he had, like, he was like a manager in New York, so he like had everyone, all like the Attell. I'm sure like Louis was, or maybe Louis was always with Becky, but like all like Attell, Judah, Craig Robinson.
Oh, wow.
Everybody,
shit,
you know.
I mean,
Patrice,
he signed
Jim
Dave
Norton.
When Dave was a street performer, Chappelle, at 14 or something.
Oh, wow.
Like he had an eye, but because I don't know, I love Barry, so I don't really know anything about his business conduct. You hear stories, that's fine. I don't want to elaborate them because I don't know what they are. But one time, I was with my brother at the Comedy Store, and Barry walks up, and Barry doesn't know my brother. Barry doesn't know that my brother is temperamental.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know that,
mm-hmm.
and he's insane.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In the outskirts, he's bubbly and nice, right? But he's just an angry yellow muscle. Of just anger, you know, and tension, you know? So Steve's sitting next to me, and Barry goes, I can't do the impression, but so what was it like living under your brother's shadow?
Wait, Barry Katz told that to your brother?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then you can see my brother's fist go like
dun,
this.
Dun, dun,
yeah.
You hear like the fucking Hulk music.
Rage.
Incredible.
Rage.
Yeah.
You put the backpack on, just start slowly.
Yeah. And I grabbed his wrist like this. Barry didn't see.
Oh, no.
And I put his fist down.
Oh, boy.
And Barry just walked away. And I go, if you were to hit him,
oh my God,
it would have been so bad for me. It would have been so fucking bad for me. He came this close, dude.
Shit.
Of
please let him know that I...
Yeah, of course. I know.
First of all, sorry if I did do that.
You didn't.
But whether or not I
should
have...
I mean, here's the thing with my brother. My brother, okay, is somebody that...
Oh, it was a Big Wings commercial. No, it wasn't. That's what you do now. Sorry, my bad.
No, I used to. Before I became a national disgrace.
You got taken off.
Did they drop you?
Yeah.
Oh,
fuck Big Wings.
Fuck
them.
Big Wings.
They suck.
Buffalo Wild Wings, by the way.
Big Wings.
Hey, B-dubs.
How many Big Wings did you do?
Buffalo Wild Wings.
I'm going to call it Big Wings.
Yeah.
How many commercials?
Yeah.
We did 7 for the March Madness and then 7 for football. It was, you know.
You did all of them.
Yeah, Neil Brennan directed the second parts.
How much money? A lot of money, right?
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very lucrative. So you got your money,
mm-hmm.
right? And you just move on now.
I'm fine.
You're totally fine. And another thing people don't know about Steve, he's a father. He's got two kids. Yeah. Jack and the other one.
The other one.
What's the other one's name?
Jonah. Jackson and Jonah. Yeah.
Jackson and Jonah.
Yep.
Jackson's seven.
Seven and four.
Yeah, and Jonah's
four.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they're a handful.
Yeah, I love Tracy too, your wife.
She's great.
I've known her forever.
As long as you've known me. She was at that Damiano's dinner.
Wow. Remember that one night when you did open for me in Orienta and I tried to hit on that girl so hard? What was it?
I don't remember.
And then you told them, yeah, there was this girl that you used to see.
Okay.
This blonde.
Uh huh.
And I was hitting on her so hard because she's like, get away. You can tell that she doesn't like ethnics. But then you told them he was in Long Duk Dong from 16 Candles. And then she believed you.
My God. Yeah. Like,
you are. And then I looked at you. I'm like, what is he's done that?
Did you fuck her?
No.
Didn't work.
Didn't work. I didn't get any real pussy until Fame.
Not even stand-up?
Yeah, you did. You did back then.
No, I didn't. Not back then. No, I swear to God, I didn't. It was right after then when it was good.
Yeah, you had just done The Tonight Show.
Yeah. TV. That was good. Yeah, that was good. But right then, no. I was desperate.
Bobby, you took care of us. Me and Ari used to call you when we were hungry to go to lunch because Bobby is infamous. I don't know. I'm sure you guys have all.
He's fed me.
For ordering hundreds of things that nobody really wants to eat.
Of course.
And then just picking at it all.
Yeah, he doesn't even eat. He doesn't necessarily eat a lot in terms of.
Would
like,
you
portion.
Say that I was generous?
He just.
No, that's not what I'm. Absolutely. Check next to generous. Generous to the point of stupidity sometimes.
Yes.
Fine. But can I ask you a question? And
yeah.
then to be really honest.
Yes.
Do you think I'm a good person?
Absolutely.
As a comic.
Wait. Good person as a
you
what?
No, just as a comic, you think I'm a good person.
I think you're a good person overall as a normal human being. As a comedian,
I want everyone
you're great
to listen
on the
to that in this room.
Well, you don't live with him, Steve.
Look, yeah, now yeah, you. Yeah. No, okay, but I also believe I'm a good person. And
you
people,
are.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've
you
made,
are a very
I've
good
made
person.
Terrible mistakes. You yeah. made terrible mistakes.
You're just a liar.
Yeah.
No.
Retract
that. No, I'm being kidding.
But, you know, again, you make terrible mistakes.
Yeah, we make mistakes.
But
I think
that
you're probably more pathological than him. Like, the degree at which you lie is chronic.
I have chronic.
Yeah, he is chronic lying. Very so chronic. I think that's more problematic.
Me and Ari are writing that show. We're still in the middle of it.
Am I still in it or no?
You're alive in one half of it. Anyway.
They write me a show. I'm just him and Ari write
character.
Me a show.
Don't give
it. I'm not going to give. I mean, can I just say that I'm dead?
Part of it, he's dead.
Thanks.
Part of
don't give it away.
Thanks.
You're alive half of it, but that's not the point.
Okay.
The point is, you are very generous. You've always been very generous. But going back to the lying thing, my character trait is that we have a thing where it's like, I lied about this situation, and Ari gets down to me. He's like, it's not that you lied about that, it's that you lie when you don't have to. That's what makes you. It's you're in the lying hall of fame. Like, you just do it for fun.
Yeah.
And that's my character flaw. But. Yeah, it's...
Aside from that...
It's also just to make the story a little bit better, right?
Yeah. But can I just say something in the show that I'm in?
Mm-hmm.
Can people think that I did die, but then later I'm alive?
Don't worry about what it is, Bobby. You'll be there. You're going to be... If you're worried about work, it would be a character that would be on it forever.
That's all he needed.
I don't want to give away why you Jack, would only see you half the time.
Let me ask you another thing.
What?
Last week, a couple weeks ago, we had Jade Caterpreta.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, Jade's like, yeah, Bobby takes me out to dinner and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I wrap up. I pay for dinner all the time. Then I wrap it up to take it home, and I won't let them. Do you know why?
Why?
It's mine.
He doesn't
allow
people.
You won't let them take their own meals home?
Leftovers. No.
So, oh my God, hold on. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Let's just pretend that instead of this podcast, we're out to dinner, right?
Yeah.
The check comes and you generously pay.
Yeah, I pay. Here you
and
go.
And now we all have our, like, I have my to-go thing. I got rigatoni with whatever, meat sauce.
Here's your check, sir.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank
and
you.
Then I'm like, okay, Bobby, I'm going to validate.
Wait, stop.
Later. Thank you so much.
Stop. What is that?
It's my hand. I'm going to shake your hand.
No. What's in the box?
It's the rigatoni, the leftover that I wrapped up for me.
Leave it on the table.
What?
Yeah, did you pay for it?
No, you paid
for it. Exactly.
Dinner.
So it's mine.
You want me to
leave it on the table.
Okay.
There you go.
And that's one of the
what?
That's one of the most monstrous things I've ever seen. That's one of the most terrible
you,
displays of human.
This is how long you've been in Hollywood that you're fucking What if your mind is your mind has been poisoned?
Okay, here's what
with toxicity.
Here's what I would do. If you did that to me once, I would generously be like, you know what, Bobby, you're 100% right. And then the next time, I would say I'm done with my food.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then I would take my food.
Yeah.
And when you went to the bathroom, I'd mash it up with my hands. Yeah. I'd mash it up and I'd rub it in my balls and everything. And then I would have them wrap it up. And then I would generously again hand it to you. And
yeah, but
I want
the thing,
you to eat it.
No, here's the thing.
I want you to eat all of my
I understand
ball
that's
juice.
So disgusting. But can I say this? I don't take the food home either.
What do you do with the food?
We leave it there.
He just throws it away.
What? So, not I see. Yeah, what do you do with it? There's so many answers that were that like give it to a homeless shelter.
Nope.
Give it to my cats.
Do you know why? Do you know why not?
Leave
the homeless
it there
because
they didn't pay for
away. It. They didn't pay for it. The homeless people. It's mine.
It's yours to do whatever you want with it and throw it away.
That's what like in society from the beginning time, like in the Game of Thrones world, right? You're in a village. Can I buy a potato? You know what I mean? You buy the potato.
Yeah.
It's fucking your potato, dog.
Yeah, but you're not buying one individual potato. You're buying a potato that everyone's...
No. This is what...
You're buying an excess of potatoes, which you can share to people that don't have potatoes.
I got two potatoes, okay? Let's say I buy two potatoes when the Game of Thrones rolls.
I would rather pay for my own dinner.
Shut the fuck up.
And then I would take it and throw it.
We do see a dragon fly by.
Okay.
You know, Cersei, whatever, right? Khaleesi.
Khaleesi's up there with the dragons.
And then I go, okay, can I buy two potatoes? You want one?
Yeah, please. Thank you.
Take a bite. Okay. Can I have it back? You done? Are you done? You want more?
I thought I might want more a little later.
No. Give me the potato.
Can I bring it home with me in case I'm hungry later on?
No. Give me the
Wouldn't
potato.
Wouldn't that be the...
No.
You bought the potato for me, though.
It was my potato.
No.
You share it. I shared it.
You gave it to me.
No.
Possession is 9/10 of the potato.
And in that world, you'd be dead. You'd be in the fucking... You're beheaded.
No, because here I would go.
And you don't have an English accent.
Here's your potato back. Here you go.
Yeah.
Oh, you're stabbing?
Stab. I can't believe you didn't stab me. I really thought that you would side with me on that one.
Never, bro. That's one of the most disgusting displays of humanity I've ever seen. Wow.
Wasteful.
So paying for somebody's meal is a disgusting.
That should be a cardinal sin.
It's a power move. It's just so that you can make people leave their food.
Mm-hmm.
It's a power move.
Let it sit. Let it sit.
Happy birthday, by the way. I remember all your birthday dinners we used to do at the Spaghetti Factory.
Oh, God,
it's coming up.
Yeah.
You know that. Oh, you knew that?
I vetoed the Spaghetti Factory.
And then we went to the one at, you did the couple at Universal.
Buca di Pepo. Oh, my God, that was terrible. But was my birthday parties great?
They were great.
They were fun.
You've never celebrated.
What are the birthday parties?
Party?
What happened?
We did a couple of those dinners, I remember.
Yeah, we went to, I would go to and get a Spaghetti Factory and we'd get two gigantic long table.
But I remember like there would be like 30 people there. He would buy dinner for everyone. But I don't ever remember having to leave this. I don't remember Hoarder Bobby where he would make us like, you know, spaghetti. No one ever
finished
spaghetti.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Nobody took food home.
I had a checklist.
At my fucking birthday party.
That's amazing.
The food would left on the table and then we just move on with
Can you life. Answer me that question about you being a good person again?
Do you think I'm a good person?
I really do. I still
good
do.
Thank you.
But you, thank with you. Horrible habits.
That's not horrible.
That's really
bad. And when we one day, you and I will go out, we'll have a meal, and I will explain to you why. And then you will get it.
I mean, you
what
just,
if I ordered a bottle of wine? Would you just take the wine and just pour it onto the table?
No. If you ordered a bottle of wine, right? Here's when we did the scenario earlier, here's the one thing that you missed.
What was it? What?
The very first scenario you and I, when we acted out with Gilbert.
Okay.
You boxed it without even asking me.
Mm.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I have my meal in front of me. My meal, at this point, from when I order my meal, it is my meal. This is my area. If you want to come into it, you have to ask me, right? So if someone says to me, the waiter, would you like that wrapped up? You're asking me, would you like your possession wrapped up and to take home to your house?
Oh, you're the waiter.
And I would say,
you're the waiter.
Yes, goes, no, I would like
you
this.
You be the waiter. You tell that to Steve.
All right, here's your check. And sir, would you like me to wrap up your two potatoes?
Stop, sir.
Okay.
No, stop, sir. Right.
I'm sorry.
Ask me because I paid for it.
Okay. But he was eating the potato.
I know, but I paid for it. And you, as you know, I gave you the credit card.
Yes.
And I gave you a $40 tip.
Would you like me to wrap up?
A $60 tab. So I think you should ask me.
You know what? I take it back.
We're not done from this fucking scenario. Go ahead.
Sir, I'm sorry. Would you like me to wrap up his potato? Okay.
No.
I can't wrap your potato, sir.
All right, what are we at time-wise?
We're over an hour.
Great. Great.
This is where we end.
Yeah, this is where we end. No, this is what happens now, okay?
Look at his face.
You guys, are you living?
You guys I have want fucking segments on this thing.
I just don't understand why.
Are you angry?
Because it's not your potato to you. First of all, can I say this? Hold on. Yeah. Usually they ask you if you want it wrapped up before they bring the check. Yeah, so if I wrap it up and now you don't own it yet, now you're going to pay for it just to take my thing?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
We do an email question and we answer it.
Go ahead. Unhelpful advice with Bobby, Kalilah, and Steve Lee's arch nemesis.
Hi, Tiger Belly. Hi, Tiger Belly fam. My main problem is I have a sex problem, specifically a hooker problem. Since breaking up with my first girlfriend I had in the first year of college 4 years ago, I've been visiting hookers pretty regularly and haven't dated since. Spending massive amount of money on hookers where I think I possibly could have spent close to $15,000 in 4 years. At my craziest, I had spent easily the $1,000 on a hooker one night. I don't find a problem with hookers and the act of paying for sex, but I'm finding myself at a strange time in my life that I don't want to spend so much money on hookers and wanting to be in a relationship. How do I stop my urge to stop seeing hookers and motivate myself to want to actually go out and find a girl to date other than the money part?
He's 24.
And his name is Kay.
Okay, he's young.
He's got to get out. He can't see hookers at 24.
How do you get out? I mean, let's say, for instance, if you're living in Melbourne where, you know, they're just brothels are illegal, it becomes such a...
It's like your coffee, your morning
convenience.
Coffee.
Convenience. It's a mod con. It's a modern convenience. If I were a guy, I would probably, you know, be really into that.
Yeah, but with all addictions, it becomes an addiction.
If you're wasting money and you're not happy with the money you're spending, yes, it's
also
a problem.
If you know that you don't want to be doing it anymore and you can't stop, that then is an addiction.
If you're taking the time to write an email, you probably have done some self-evaluation.
Right. That's a very good point.
I think the reason is because I haven't clicked or had any chemistry with girls.
You can't have chemistry with a girl if you're constantly draining your balls elsewhere.
Exactly.
Part of that chemistry that you feel with a woman is because you have an endorphin rise because there's mystery between you and her. If your balls are drained, you don't even have the energy for your endorphin to go up or to even feel mystery with somebody else or any type of chemistry. Your balls are drained. You don't give a fuck about meeting a woman at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not K.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just.
Yeah. Well, you gotta work.
I'm not paying for hookers.
You know what I'm saying?
Have you had experience with that?
With what? Being a hooker or getting a hooker?
No, somebody getting their balls drained and.
What do you mean?
She drains your balls.
Oh yeah, she does.
No, well, like say for instance, with you have an addiction to porn. Your balls are constantly drained. You don't want to.
Wake. You know what I mean, Resident?
You're welcome for that.
Yeah.
You're welcome for that little.
All right, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Answer Kay's question.
I just think that he reminds me of me when I was that age. And a lot of the reasons why I had prostitutes and stuff like that is because I couldn't get regular girls. And so what I did was I stopped doing it and then just kind of started doing stand-up because I needed something to, you know, I just wasn't fuckable. And
I would ask him if it's like, does he like when the girls are like, it's so easy, they talk to him, they compliment him. Mm-hmm. He's got to find a way to get that out without having to pay.
My question is, what's his self-worth? Like, is he an insecure guy or is he somebody who's always, you know, had issues with like self-esteem? Because he's a confident guy and he just likes the convenience of a hooker, then it becomes a little bit more difficult, I think.
In your 20s, pain and suffering is vital, I think. It's a really weird thing to say, but I believe that I was really depressed. I had no future. And it was either shit or get off the pot. Like, I had to really pursue doing stand-up. I've said this before on this podcast. It literally was my only path. And so, and a part of it was getting prostitutes, not able to meet a regular girl, and just seeing my future, like, what is this gonna, you know, so I
have a question for you then. When you started to make money,
did
you continue to spend that money on hookers?
To be honest, yes.
I'd like to answer that one, please.
No. Yeah, a little bit. Not as much.
Yeah.
But like when, I'm not going to name names, but there's a couple of huge names that I used to hang out with. And we used to do these things.
Hawaiian Garden, right?
Yeah, Hawaiian Theater.
Hawaiian Theater,
you go to Spearmint Rhino in Studio City and we get jerked off during the day. Mm-hmm. And then we would, but TJ, the whole, you know, all those comics, like, I can say it now, Caparillo, Freddie Lockhart, Mike Black, when they all went down to Tijuana to go to Adelita's, mm-hmm. that was, I'm the one that did that. I showed them the path.
You brokered the deal.
I brokered the deal.
Welcome back to Gratitude with Bobby Lee. I'm the one that showed him.
Ari would
get
go
hookers.
Down there too. People would go down there.
I'm the one who showed him which brothel to go to.
You know what I mean? No, but I'm saying though is that, but I didn't go with them. That was when I was like, okay, I'm gonna do something else. Mm-hmm. And then all those guys, except for Mike Black, got into relationships or whatever, right? So they moved out of that phase, but.
But lucky to Bobby now, their wives now know that they went down to hookers. Do you want it? No,
I
fine,
often
Bobby.
Wonder that for myself. Like if I've been, let's say, for instance, you and I stay married for 15 years. Would it really hurt? It would hurt me so much less if you got with a hooker than got with another random girl. It would. I don't think I would care. I'm just saying, like, I'm wondering if I would care so much if you got like a happy ending or got it, because it's such a business transaction. There's not so much else involved
so
other
I
than
said,
just
if
pure
I said,
coitus.
Listen,
you know,
Kalila, I just want to go down to Spearmint Rano and just get jerked off.
I don't think I'd be opposed to that. Probably now this early on because
I've been married 10 years. Yeah. My wife would not be psyched about it because then there's a whole, you know, look, there's a whole sex workers moral issue where you're like, do these people really want to be jerking me off?
Yeah.
You're like, do they really, is that what they're fucking woke up this morning to like?
I don't think he goes, he never thinks about that. I don't
think about that either, but my wife does. So,
yeah. It is an occupation that's been around since the dawn of man.
Someone's got to jerk everyone. You got to get milked. You got to get milked every day.
Get drained.
You
got to
get that poison out.
They have happy endings for women now.
Excuse me?
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
How?
And it's somebody took my idea and made it a reality.
Wait, what is it? Like a shop?
Yeah, it's basically you get a massage and get fingered.
Oh.
Which is basically every...
Are they accepting...
Applicants?
Yeah. What's the...
Yeah, but then, you know what I mean... You do it, and then it's Mitzi Shore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, she has a quivering, like, decayed vagina.
It's talking to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't...
Imagine what her vagina...
You're like, it's my idea. I'm not going there. I'm just... Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I really... Somebody took my idea and made it a business, and it's really upsetting.
I hope that answered this guy's email. So at home one day that he can just...
Well, the segment's called
Here's
Unhelpful Advice.
Yeah. So. Also, you will never be able... Like, hookers is like... I mean, it's an addiction, but, like, you're going to either run out of money... You just have, I would say, you're going to run out of money. He's not going to fall off the face of the earth, or he's just, you know, he's just going to run out of money. He's not going to be able to do it anymore. And then he's going to have to talk to real girls.
But does he have to? Because I know a guy who's actually from Melbourne, and he's probably in his 40s now. And for the last 15 years of his life, he goes to the brothels 3-4 times a week. He has three women that he goes to that mm-hmm. he, you know, and he lives what he considers a very fulfilled life. He doesn't want to deal with, you know, the throes of a relationship, and he just goes there strictly for sex.
That might be a normal, maybe he's had relationships and and that's like, oh, I've sort of figured out what I like. What
he's
I,
also
24. This guy's 24 who probably, I don't even.
He's a baby.
I mean, I don't know. Like, do you have to, learn how to function with.
Yeah.
With
or at least give it a try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you and Tracy strong?
Good. I mean, it's not always easy.
No, they were dating since college.
Yeah, we've been together for, since 99.
Wow.
Yeah. I've known Tracy for as long as I've known him.
Yeah.
I love her. I really do.
She's a great
woman.
When
she smiles, she's just like, you know, she's a happy person.
She's an unbelievable mom.
She's an unbelievable person.
But it's not, like you said before, it's not easy. People got to get milked.
Do kids?
Why keep winking at him?
Get weak at the most inopportune time.
Yeah, let me ask you something.
Like the most inappropriate.
Do you have
times.
Any plugs?
Yeah, I'm gonna be hitting the road in the middle at the end of September, October.
Where are you playing?
Austin. I'll be in San Francisco. I'll be in Dr. Grin's in where's that city? Grand Rapids. Mr. Magoobie's in Baltimore.
How's that room?
I haven't been there yet. I'm doing that after
Thanksgiving. I want to play Mr. Magoobie's.
I haven't. I'm going to Baltimore to my sister-in-law's for Thanksgiving.
Tell them about me, Mr. Magoobie's.
Cool.
I'm
just doing Friday and Saturday night. I will, dude.
It's like that's how I get into clubs. Is I'm asking my friends, mm-hmm. talk to Mr. Magoobie and say that I'm good.
I'll talk to Magoobie.
You know, and I'll do the vice versa. I mean,
always.
I'm sure there's not a room. They're probably about to play all the rooms, but
yeah, we play.
If there's
the
a room,
rooms.
Room that you
Chicago
you
know, doing Zanies. Mm-hmm.
It's a good room.
So I'm doing the whole fall.
The I do Schaumburg. I love just that Schaumburg thing.
Yeah.
Do you have any plugs, babe, for me?
You are going to be in Brea September 16th through the 18th. The weekend after that, you were doing Oddball September 22, 24, Houston, Dallas, Austin.
Okay. Nice.
Go to BobbyLeeLive.com for more of his tour dates.
Your website, Steve?
Yeah, SteveRenesEasy.com.
Yeah.
Tickets and all that business.
I'm glad you did it with our podcast.
Because thanks, man.
I have a really difficult time
asking people.
Yeah,
I get it. That's why I haven't
asked anybody.
Me and Andrew Santino are talking about starting a podcast, and we're discussing
I'd
the different.
Love to be on it.
Well, we.
You're right. It hasn't even.
We were just about to say we're not even sure if we want to do it guest driven because
it guest driven is difficult and it becomes kind of a hassle because you constantly have to think about asking people to do it.
Yes, and I think people don't want to ask me because maybe they don't think I want to talk about it. And I don't want to really, but I will with you. And I would love. I love doing podcasts with friends.
So yeah, I mean, us, it's like, yeah, if it wasn't like we had Eric Griffin, mm-hmm. he's a very good friend of mine, your friend, very good friend. And then we had Jade, some of my openers, and then also Akira, Esther. We had
it's
Esther
been
last
very
week.
Limited. Yeah. So very I think limited, we probably had a total of in 50 something episodes, probably like 5 guests.
By the way, I did a web series called Daddy Knows Best with Esther, Jade, and Eric Griffin.
Oh wow. So all of our
people. Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm just glad that you're on it. I thought it was really strong episode. I really do.
Thanks,
really,
man.
It was really fun. And okay, that's it.
Bye. Make sure you guys follow Tiger Belly on Instagram at Tiger Belly, on Twitter at The Tiger Belly. And if you want to email a question about hookers or whatever, you can do that at thetigerbelly@gmail.com. Kalila?
You can follow me on all forms of social media at Calamity K. And that's it. We'll see you guys next week. Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.